Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
937, a gorgeous Sunday morning. Dean Richards here with the Week in Health. Dr. Jeremy Silver joining us, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, good morning, my friend. How are you?
And good morning to you, Dean.
So lots of things to talk about today. It's National Stroke Awareness Month. We talked about the Lung Association's climb that's going on as we speak at Soldier Field. COVID numbers are up. And COVID deaths are up in some places. But I want to start talking about something that hit us very close to home here at WGN this week. And that was the Instagram post by a reporter, our pal, one of the best guys that there is, Michael Lowe, revealing that he was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. And will undergo radiation and chemotherapy for about 6 months prior to surgery. He is part of a clinical trial with Northwestern. Dr. Silver, Mike Lowe is 44 years old. I mean, that's remarkably young for a diagnosis like this, isn't it?
Yeah, first of all, wish Mike all the best, and he's going to get the best care you can possibly get where he's going. So Godspeed to him and his family. It's young, and I think what we're seeing as a trend, and it's not 100% understood why, is that the average age of diagnosis is getting lower. And I don't have a good answer for that today. I think there's a lot of speculation, but that's definitely something that we're seeing. Typically, colon cancer is a cancer associated with increasing age, particularly over 50. But younger folks are more and more vulnerable. In fact, our family knows somebody in their 20s who was recently diagnosed with colon cancer.
Wow. I mean, it's a colonoscopy, which would be the early detection for something like this, I think. Isn't the sort of the accepted age for your first colonoscopy, what is it, 45 or 50 years old now, something like that?
Yeah, it is 45, lowered a few years ago, but perhaps we need to look at lowering it again. I will say that with the caveat that if your family has risk factors, or you have risk factors based on, you know, family or other factors, your doctor may recommend doing it sooner. So some people are getting screened, you know, as young as in the 30s, depending on your predisposition for it.
Yeah, my maternal grandmother died of colon cancer. So my doctor at the time recommended that I start getting colonoscopies at 40 years old, a little younger than usual, especially back then, because I think the age was higher when I first started going through this. But this just underlines the importance of these preventative measures, right? To
absolutely
learn whatever you can as early as you can, so it can be treated.
Absolutely. Screening is so important, and why it's important to have a primary care doctor who can compile all of your information and personalize your screening plan just for you so that you can stay on top of these things.
Now, you know, stage 3 is not as serious as stage 4, of course, but just talk to us a little bit about the seriousness of the various stages for something like this.
Yeah, stage 3 cancer basically is cancer that spread to local lymph nodes. You know, there's different ways of looking at cancer, but if you take the staging paradigm, stage 0 is when you have abnormal cells there, but they haven't spread anywhere. Sometimes they call that in situ. And then stage 1, the cancer's small, and maybe it's only spread a little bit locally. Stage 2 and 3, that describes local tissue involvement or lymph node involvement. And then stage four is when it's gone out to other parts of the body, and that's the same thing as saying metastatic cancer.
Yeah.
And it's also the same thing as saying advanced cancer. It all means the same thing.
Well, Mike's we're going to talk to Mike in the next half hour. What he has been posting, his social media posts, have been very, very motivating. In positive, he says, "I'll be motivated by Walter Payton's motto, 'Never die easy.' You won't see me on the air as much for a while, but I'll be providing health updates on this page periodically," meaning his Instagram page. And, Mike, being the gifted wordsmith that he is and storyteller that he is, puts a line in here that it made me sad, but it made me laugh at the same time. He goes, "Cancer sucks, but it's growing on me."
Very funny.
So typical of Mike's sense of humor. Again, we'll talk with Mike Lowe in the next half hour and just get a little update from him. But this is something which is beatable, right? I mean, this is very definitely something which is beatable. People do all
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And there's so many different therapies now, and especially when you're at a center of excellence, they have access to all the latest and greatest data and tools and drugs. So I think he's got a great shot at this.
He said that he's going to be participating in a clinical trial. What does that mean exactly?
Right. So all the time, drug companies and other companies involved in medicine are running what we call trials to determine if the treatment is actually effective. So drug development takes years and years. It starts out in the lab with an idea, right? You're working in a lab and you think, well, if I design a drug like this, it should attack this kind of cell, and maybe it'll stop the spread of cancer. And then you have all this proof of concept, and you get to a point where you want to gather a bunch of people and try the drug out on them. And so people that are suffering from cancer are absolutely motivated to participate because it could potentially impact their lives. And so you take, at this point in what the trial is you take a bunch of people, and you give some people the treatment and you give some people something called a placebo, which is essentially a sugar pill. It doesn't have any medicine in it. And you measure the response and see if there's any measurable response. And you look at the side effects and make sure the side effects aren't worse than the cure. And then if those trials end up bearing out positive data, then the next step is going to the FDA and saying, "Hey, look what I got here. This is very promising." And then the FDA either says yes or no.
Yeah. The 407 area code writes, "Could the Western diet, which consists of red meat and processed foods, be contributing to colon cancer?"
Yes, it can. In fact, we know that diets high in red meat are a risk factor for colon cancer. Sorry to the steak eaters out there, myself included, but the suggestion is to keep processed meat, things like salami or bacon, and red meat to a minimum, and things like fish, chicken, fruits and vegetables to a maximum, and that is just good advice across the board. Unfortunately,
when I'm in the grocery store and I see chickens, and some are, they says that they're free range and there are no antibiotics used and such. Am I better to buy those kinds of products as opposed to the less expensive ones that don't say that?
I mean, I do. And I think that there's something to be said for not ingesting animals that had drugs kind of pumped into them. To me, that's just kind of a common sense type of thing. I think the less antibiotics we have in our system, the less resistance we're going to have over time. That's my advice to folks, but that's not based on any particular study. That's just my own personal opinion.
Yeah, it just seems like the more holistic the food source is, whatever the food source is, whether it's fruit or vegetable or some type of animal product, whatever, the more natural it is, probably the better it is for you. The 847 area code asks, what determines how they do radiation and chemotherapy and surgery first? In Mike's case, Mike said that they were going to do chemo and radiation and then do surgery. How do they decide, to do the surgery first and then the radiation and chemotherapy? How is that?
Yeah, I can tell you it's not just the flip of a coin. It's very thoughtful consideration. At hospitals that are cancer centers of excellence, they have things called tumor board or tumor panel. It's a group of physicians that is comprised of surgeons, medical oncologists, pathologists, nurses, and even the physical therapists. I mean, it's a whole multidisciplinary group that will sit and look at each case and say, all right, based on what we know and based on what the data says, we think we should probably shrink the tumor in this case before we go after it with the knife, because we'll have a better outcome versus, hey, this thing is so aggressive, we got to get it out of the body now, we don't have time to wait. So there's a variety of factors that may be at play. And so they look at each person individually and say, okay, you're going to get this versus you'll get that, based on what the evidence shows.
All right. Again, we're going to talk with Mike Lowe himself coming up in our next half hour, and we'll continue with Dr. Jeremy Silver, Director of Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital, right after this. 9:51, Dean Richards, The Week in Health, Dr. Jeremy Silver, answering your questions on our text line and on our phone line, 312-981-7200. So May is National Stroke Awareness Month. How prevalent a problem still is stroke, Dr. Silver?
Stroke is still a major problem, one of the leading causes of disability in the U.S. and also worldwide. So there'll be hundreds of thousands of strokes here in the United States this year. And the impact it has on people and their families and on the workplace, it's just it's hard to really kind of quantify. We see people with strokes all the time in the emergency room, and that's where we have an incredible opportunity to intervene early and get them the care they need, which can absolutely impact their outcome. Versus having a life of disability or even being bedbound.
What are the symptoms that you might be a candidate for stroke?
Yeah, so what we like to say is be fast is sort of the acronym that we use. So a lot of people, when they think of stroke, they think well, maybe it's somebody that can't move their leg. Be fast is something that everybody can remember at home. It's balance. So a sudden loss of balance. E would be eyes, which is a problem with vision. F is face. So a facial droop or slurred speech. And arm is the A, which is a weakness in the arm or a funny feeling in the arm. And then I mentioned speech before and then time, which is a reminder that you have a limited amount of time to get help. So if any of those symptoms come into play quickly, just get help. Go call 911 or come to the hospital, and we can absolutely figure out what's going on.
Yeah. Is a stroke related to high blood pressure? Is that what brings it on?
Yeah, that's certainly one of the biggest risk factors for stroke. Having uncontrolled blood pressure, diabetes is a risk factor for stroke. So advanced age is a risk factor for stroke. Of course, smoking is a risk factor for stroke. And then anybody who's had a prior stroke would be at a higher risk for another one. They like to say in the medical world that brain is time, meaning that for every minute that we lose, you're losing hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of brain cells. And so it's critical to get seen as quickly as possible. It's almost like a heart attack. When someone comes in and they have stroke symptoms, we immediately call a stroke alert. You'll see that at probably any ER these days, and rush all the resources to the patient so that we can identify it if it's there and then treat it if it's treatable.
So how can people decrease their risk for stroke? Is it dietary? Is it exercise? Is it all of those things, probably?
Yeah, there are very modifiable risk factors. According to the CDC, up to 90% of strokes are actually caused by modifiable factors, so things that you can do something about. So you mentioned, Dean, high blood pressure. If you have high blood pressure and it's not well controlled, you can go see your doctor and add another medication. Likewise, reducing salt and exercising can help bring your blood pressure down as well.
Reducing salt, but increasing exercise, not reducing exercise, right?
Correct. Okay. Yes. Low salt, high exercise.
Two completely different things. Although it did make me smile for just a moment.
So yeah, Dean, smoking is the last piece. It's certainly a risk factor for stroke, and for other medical conditions. So that's the last piece of it, which of course is probably the hardest piece to limit if you're addicted.
Okay, real quick before we run out of time, I was reading some numbers this week that COVID cases and COVID deaths are up in some places. Is this something that we should all be concerned about? Another good reminder to make sure you're up to date with your immunizations. Where are we with all this?
So I went online, I go to the CDC website to look at data, and I can see that hospitalizations are up, but overall, deaths may be up in some places, but overall in the U.S., deaths are down, and emergency department visits are down, and we're kind of sitting at a 3% positivity rate state by state. But I fully agree. You know, the simplest way to prevent transmission of any of these bad germs, whether it's COVID or the flu or measles, is hand washing and masking. And if we just do those two simple things, we can certainly prevent the spread of illness.
Yeah, and I guess making sure that you're up to date with your immunizations on all of those things that you just mentioned. I was thinking about it the other day. At this point, I don't even really remember what my last immunization was for COVID. I'd have to go back and look at the charts and all that. And where should we be now? Is there like a number of boosters we should have had?
Depending on your age and your risk factors, there is another booster that came out in the fall. And it seems to be very effective against the most recent variant, this JN.1 variant, as opposed to the last set of boosters, which had been completed in the previous fall, which was having good activity against the Omicron variant, which were long past. So if you haven't been vaccinated last fall, then there is another booster that's available, and certainly recommended if you're over 50 or have chronic medical conditions.
Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Have a great Sunday, Doc. Thanks so much.
And you, Dean, take care.